Hello and welcome back to Silver Age, Silver Screen, a podcast where we normally review movies, but sometimes we do these episodes where we just mock comic books for being really fucking stupid.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun, and also, I think this is the stupidest. You know, in the past, we've done the lamest characters in comics, we've done the weirdest characters in comics, and this is something different. This is the worst characters in comics. Not characters that are dumb or lame or weird. Characters who straight up should not exist. That make me seriously question what is wrong with the people who made them.
Right, these are the worst, most offensive characters we could find and put on our lists. And just have a great time talking about it, because this is the third episode of this type that we've done, and so far the last two have been two of my favorite episodes that we've done of this show. I have a great time, and I love doing them, and yeah, I'm glad we get to do it again, and I got some stinkers.
And actually, speaking of last episodes, we have a rule in place with this one that, no dupes, we can't do characters we've talked about before, which means that Black Bomber and Marcus Immortus can't be on my lip, although both of them would be vying for top spot if they were. Go check out the weirdest one to hear me rant about the time DC had the bright idea to have a superhero whose power was blackface, and also the time where Marvel had a guy rape Captain Marvel, then her give birth to him and marry him.
Like I said, it's a fun time. It's a real fun time, but...
Oh, God.
Yeah, how this is going to work is Casey and I each went our separate ways and developed our own top five characters, which essentially equals 10 total worst comic book characters. And we each go one by one, naming the character and giving off all the reasons why they're bad. And I just wanted to say, I wanted to ask you, Casey, what publication companies are some of your characters from? Because I got two DC characters. I have one Top Cow Comics, one Boy Comics, and one Lightning Comics. What about you?
Excluding my honorable mentions, I have two from DC and one from Marvel. Don't get me wrong, the big studios can make some fucking stinkers. But I also have two indies. I have one from Image Comics and one from Legendary Comics. They're both just horrible.
I feel like if you've listened to our last few episodes, you know what we're talking about. Do you and I want to get into some of our honorable mentions, Casey?
Oh yeah, there's so many good honorable mentions characters who are just short of making the top five. For example, there's a Doom Patrol villain named Codpiece.
Of course he's a Doom Patrol.
His backstory, after being dumped for having a small dick, he built a robot suit with a massive laser penis. And his head is also, like, phallic. He's a literal dickhead.
Of course he's a Doom Patrol villain. Of course he is.
Shoots missiles out of his penis.
Okay. I have three honorable mentions. They go from least offensive to most offensive. My first honorable mention is NFL Super Pro.
Oh god, I remember that one.
A Marvel character who is a vigilante superhero themed as the NFL because he's an NFL linebacker and he's really good at football. And that's his superpower. He's just really good at football. And he's sponsored by the NFL.
One character that I've got, it's not so much the character being bad as the character having not the best name. DC Comics, one of Green Lantern's supporting characters is a guy named Thomas Kalmaku.
Okay.
But in the Silver Age, when he was introduced, he was better known by the nickname Pie Face.
Okay.
And side note, something I did not realize until I did a bit of research on this character so I could mention him briefly. The Green Lantern movie from 2011 is so forgettable that I forgot it featured this character. They called him Tom. They didn't say the really racist nickname from the 60s, but still.
Okay.
They
good,
featured
good,
this
good.
Character, and I've completely forgot it, despite him being played by a fantastic actor. Do you know who played Thomas Kalmaku in the 2011 Green Lantern movie?
Please do not tell me it's Taika Waititi.
Yes, I completely forgot that.
Holy shit.
Like, that movie's so forgettable that Taika Waititi, who's, like, just such a good comedic actor, played a main character, and I have no memory of that.
Yeah, I didn't even remember Taika Waititi was in Green Lantern until a couple weeks ago.
It's kind of relevant now because him and Reynolds are doing a movie together, and they did an interview where they said, it's great to finally do a movie, we've never worked before, and then someone else in the interview, it was the dude with the hair from Stranger Things, says, hey, weren't you in Green Lantern together? I don't remember that film. You mean Green Hornet with Seth Rogen? No, I'm not Seth Rogen. Bye.
I mean, it's the movie that Ryan Reynolds and the mother of his children met on. So, you know, yeah, I don't remember that at all whatsoever.
So it did some good.
Okay. Well, I mean, if anyone was going to pull it off, it'd be Taika Waititi. I mean, he pulled off Hitler. Being Hitler in Jojo Rabbit.
Speaking of characters with kind of racist names, there's a C-list DC hero whose name is just a racial slur. Like, Gypsy, Cynthia Reynolds, that member of the Detroit League. Gypsy's a racial slur. Don't call actual Romani people that. They very much do not like it. And I don't think it's the writers who created her being purposefully racist, just insanely ignorant. But also at the same time, that's an actual group of people. Why is your superhero just like wearing a costume of them and like named after a racial slur for them? And also, I was going to say, hey, it's so dumb. It would be like if you had a Hispanic superhero named Latino. But then I realized, I don't actually think that Cynthia Reynolds is Romani. I think she just calls herself Gypsy. And anyway, that's why she doesn't have a superhero name on the CW show. Because, oops, accidentally gave a character a racial slur as a name.
Well, I mean, I often feel like a lot of these worst characters that kept coming up on all the lists that I was reading, a lot of them were like products of the time that they were from. I'm not excusing them, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, of the five that I have, four of them are pre-1977. So I just like to throw that out there. It's a product of a bigoted, racist time.
Well, hey, that's not just in the past. My number two is from 2020 and my number one's from 2011.
Oh boy. Going on with another honorable mention of mine is a Marvel character known as Rawhide Kid. Now, Rawhide Kid was created in the 1955 as like a generic Western gunslinger type hero. You know, like the Lone Ranger or the Lone Ranger. I don't know. But so he just entertained children who loved the Wild West and cowboys and stuff like that. But then at the turn of time of the space race, much like in Toy Story, kids didn't want to play with cowboys anymore. They wanted to play with spacemen, astronauts, stuff like that. So since then, Rawhide Kid is pretty much sat on ice for decades because nobody knew what to do with them. However, that was until the late 90s, early 2000s, when Marvel Comics rebooted Rawhide Kid and gave him his own storylines. What gave him an honorable mention on my list is the fact that in order to make him a bit more interesting character in the modern era, they made him gay. And they also made him one of the most horrifically stereotypical portrayals of a gay man you could ever get.
Oh.
Like, there were comics of him being like, the Lone Ranger, I'm so much faster than him, and stuff like that. Like, it's bad. It's just bad. The reason why he's an honorable mention is because he didn't really make that much of an impact. The point is, it's just very stereotypical and very offensive.
Kind of similar to that, one of my honorable mentions is Extrano, who's Doctor Strange, if he was gay and Hispanic and owned by DC. And he's mostly used as a comic relief character, just this flamboyant, very stereotypically gay man. And it hasn't aged well at all. But also, reason why it's an honorable mention and not on the actual list is when I did a bit more digging into this character, turns out that this very stereotypical flamboyant gay man was the first gay superhero in 1988. So
of course it was in the 80s.
Some praise for representation, even though it's a bit shitty. Also, the reason why you haven't heard more of him is because DC had him be written out of the book he was in because they didn't want gay characters. And also, now that I think about it, concerning some things later on my list, I'm taking back any praise I have for Steve Englehart in creating this character concerning a certain thing that happens.
I would like to take this opportunity to say, for the record, this is an official trigger warning. There's going to be a lot of really offensive stuff on these lists. That being said, my last honorable mention, this character's name is Ebony White.
Ah, shit, I also have Ebony White. That's how bad he is.
Ebony White is the sidekick to a 1940s detective hero known as The Spirit, who was adapted to a feature film in, I believe, 2011 by Frank Miller, of all people.
Yeah, that person who is a fantastic director. I have a lot to say about Frank Miller later in this list.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're going to bring up. And not because you told me before the show, which you absolutely did. But Ebony White is a black man who's the sidekick to the White Spirit. A black man named Ebony White, as portrayed by a 1940s comic book. You do the math.
Well, I'm sure it isn't that bad. Let's just look up this. Oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. This is one of the most offensive portrayals of African Americans I've ever seen. Like, it's fucking horrific.
God damn, that's such a racist design. And also, he talks like he's out of a minstrel show.
Yeah, the dialogue starts kicking in, and they just wrote him to... God damn it, the 40s. Fuck.
Yeah. On the lighter note, I have a Marvel character who gained super speed after being bitten by a snake for some reason.
Okay.
Really, I don't have so much a problem with the superhero as I do with his name, the Wizard. He doesn't have piss powers, okay? The characters who have bodily fluids as a weapon are later on the list, but oh boy, the Wizard is a bad name. And he dresses in yellow.
He was one of the invaders that fought alongside Namor in Captain America, right?
Yeah, like, imagine you're just a German soldier in a trench, and then you hear, oh god, the Wizard's coming to beat us up. No, not the piss man! Also, you know Speedball, that really fun, kind of C-list Marvel character who has the power of just, like, bouncing around and he's a go-lucky, happy teenager?
Yeah.
Well, in Civil War, they had him accidentally cause the death of 600 people, which for some reason made his powers change so he could only use them when he's in constant pain.
Okay.
So he became an anti-hero named Penance, who has a dark, edgy costume and has 600 nails stabbed into his body, so he's in constant pain.
That sounds to me like something Garth Ennis would make. Like, something satirical and fucked up for the purpose of just making fun of the tropes of antiheroes.
Well, I'm happy to report it was played completely straight.
Oh, goody goody.
Also, one last Golden Age character. We have Madame Fatale. She was actually just a dude in drag. Like, there's a Golden Age superhero who's just Mrs. Doubtfire. Just a dude who dresses up like a granny so people underestimate him, then beats people to death with his cane. And that's dumb, but honestly, that's actually kind of amusing. Also, again, finding out these are so much weirder than you think when you go into them. The character was created in 1940, and his whole deal was trying to track down his kidnapped daughter, but his series got canceled before he ever found her.
Okay, so that daughter's still missing. Is what you're saying.
No, because in 2012, DC had in an issue of The Shade a flashback story set in the 40s where he finally found his daughter. Only took 72 years, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. I'm really happy for that.
So, you have any more honorable mentions, or would you like to get into your real ones?
Those are it for my honorable mentions. I'd like to get into my real ones, which I think is very fitting because my number 5 is a literal piece of shit. My character, number 5, from Top Cow Comics, is Shithead.
I believe it's pronounced Theed.
I don't fucking know. But I don't care. He's made out of human shit. Like, think Clayface. You know Clayface, the iconic Batman villain? Who he has the powers of kind of, you know, elasticity. He can alter his shape, size, density, strength, all that. He can create weapons out of his own limbs. He was most recently featured in the Harley Quinn show. Yeah, that, but instead of being made out of mud, he's made out of human feces. And not just any human feces. He's made out of the feces of 666 of the worst human beings that have ever walked the planet, including Jeffrey Dahmer, Adolf Hitler, and Genghis Khan. He's a poop monster. A literal poop monster. And he was defeated by the superhero, The Killer. Great name, by the way. He proclaimed in their final battle, he proclaimed that he cannot be killed by anything or anyone. Which he cannot be because he's made out of poop. To which the killer immediately dumps a shit ton of bleach onto Shithead, which weakens him, and then the killer flushes him down the toilet. And that was the end of Shithead.
That is both gross and stupid. And also, where did they get all that shit? Like,
exactly!
Specifically going after the 666 most evil people? Well, first up, no way to authenticate that that's Genghis Khan shit. He's been dead for a long time.
Yeah, I might have made Genghis Khan up.
Where'd you get the Hitler shit? Did you sneak through a bunker in Germany? Did you break into Jeffrey Dahmer's prison cell to get his? Like, where are you getting all this feces?
Exactly. Like, and the other thing, imagine him as an antagonist. You know, imagine you're a superhero and you're fighting this guy. Do you seriously want to go in a fist-to-fist fight with a literal piece of shit?
Oh, God. And there's no way that spandex is easy to clean. Like, you're just going to smell like shit for the rest of the week.
And it stains, and it's just fucking terrible. And he was defeated by pouring bleach on him and then being flushed down the toilet. Like, the fuck? So, the reason why he's my number 5 is because he's my least offensive character. Which says a lot because a literal piece of shit is my number 5. And I thought it was very fitting to go with the piece of shit for the first one in this countdown. Casey, what about you? What's your number 5?
Well, you know Crypto the Super Dog? How Superman has a pet dog who has the same exact powers as him?
Yeah. He's going to be played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson in the upcoming Super Pets movie, alongside Kevin Hart, who's going to be playing Ace, the Bat Dog.
Right. Well, I have one character that I hope to God does not appear in that. Because, you see, Superman has some other pets. He has a pet cat named Streaky. He has a pet monkey named Beppo. And all these characters were on a team called the Legion of Super Pets, along with a pet horse named Comet, the Super Horse, who was owned by Supergirl. So, okay, Superman has a dog that can fly, Supergirl has a horse that can fly. That's fine, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
No, it's so much worse.
Okay.
So, let's talk about Comet's introduction. One day, Supergirl, and this is Silver Age Supergirl, who was like 16, she was a teenage girl, which is important when we get into some of the not great stuff that happens later. Okay. One day she has a dream about this magic white horse, and then she finds that exact white horse, who she names Comet, and rides around on him. And then we learn Comet's backstory. Comet isn't a horse. He is a centaur that was magically transformed into a horse back in ancient Greece and then teleported into space for 2,000 years.
Naturally.
And then while he was in space, he saw Supergirl's pod heading for Earth and followed it because he thought she was pretty. And she was a child at the time, I would like to note. And then he spent years watching her from a distance as she grew up. And then when she's a teenager, he used his telepathy to make her dream about him so she would adopt him as a pet horse. Would you like to know why Comet did all of this?
Yes. I mean, no. No, I would not.
Well, I'm telling you anyway, in case it wasn't clear, Comet's main motivation is that he just really wants to fuck Supergirl. This horse is horny for that teenage girl. And all of the issues that feature him are filled with monologues about him whining about, "Man, I wish I was a human so I could have sex with Supergirl." Ugh.
I am already speechless, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, a half-human, half-horse man wants to fuck Supergirl? Who was a 16-year-old at the time?
Something like that. And, I mean, hey, at least it just remained with him being a horse who fantasizes about... JK, there's a few issues where he gets some magic that allows him to temporarily turn into a human.
Oh, boy.
And he doesn't even go to Supergirl and say, "I've been in love with you all this time, let's make out." He deceives her. He pretends to be a rodeo dude named Bronco Bill and, like, introduces himself to her and seduces her, then makes out with her. And there are multiple issues where he pulls the trick of pretending not to be your pet horse so he can make out with her. And, A, creepy, this is a very old man and she's a teenager. Like, even setting aside the horse shit, that's just really not good. Him deceiving and manipulating this child into making out with him.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy. That's...
Also, not just Supergirl. There's an issue where, while he's as a human, he hooks up with Lois Lane, and then Lois Lane gets magically turned into a horse and decides to marry the other magic horse. Because it was the Silver Age, and it was fucking weird.
Okay, so, there's I don't know if you know this, Casey, but there's a thing called LSD. who the fuck thought this was a good idea? Who the fuck thought this was a good idea? Seriously. Seriously. I mean, come on. Like, oh my god.
So, like many other dumb, awful Silver Age characters, Comet died in Crisis. But he later came back in the 90s.
Of course he did, because it was the 90s.
He was reintroduced as a woman named Andrea Martinez, who had the power to turn into a male centaur that was in love with Supergirl.
The greatest superpower ever made.
Which is infinitely better. I don't know. Is it weird that that is so much better? Like... Centaur is much better than horse, and it should have been a centaur all the time if you want this horse to want to fuck Supergirl.
So he was a horse trying to fuck Supergirl the entire time.
Yeah, or even if it's a horse, just the mind control and manipulation and pedophilia. Also, I'd like to note, because this is more weird than what the fuck, but the 90s version of Comet was weird. We've already talked about the woman turning into a male centaur, which I feel like that's an important piece of comic history. That would be one of the first trans characters, except it's not really because it's against her will and whatever. That is even weirder because that centaur is also an angel.
What?
And that's not out of context for the 90s Supergirl comics, because remember, in the 90s, Supergirl was an angel named Matrix who was also a shapeshifter from an alternate universe created by Lex Luthor. Yeah, the 90s version of Supergirl was weird, and it reintroduced the horse that wants to fuck her, and that horse was also an angel, and it ended up with that horse hooking up with another angel. Comet's a weird character, but the point is, in the 60s, DC Comics had a pedophile horse, and unlike BoJack Horseman, wasn't voiced by Will Arnett.
Here's what I'll say. I really need to start watching the CW Supergirl show, because this sounds really fucked up, and I'd like to see it crash and burn. But then again, I know this was not portrayed in the Supergirl show, so I'm not gonna watch it. But yeah, that's pretty bad. That's fucked up.
Honestly, I would be down for them introducing the other Supergirl, who's a shape-shifting alien who is also an angel. That would have been cool.
Do you have anything more to say about this horse?
What the fuck is all I have to say.
To continue off what the fuck, My number four is He, She.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Just wait. Created in 1943 by Boy Comics. He, She is half man, half woman. And I mean that literally. Like, if you take a human being, like the outline of a person, and you split it down the middle from head to groin, one half is male, the other half is female. That's what He, She looks like. Now, let me read you the tagline of this character's storyline in Boy Comics number 9. The deadliest of the species is the female. The strongest of the species is the male. Combine these with the killer instinct, and you have the most cunning, the most vicious, most fiendish character of all time! Exclamation point. That's the tagline on this comic book from the 40s. Literally, the physical body of He-She is half man, half woman. Now, the storyline involves He-She using a trench coat and a fedora, which the fedora is tipped over the female half of the body, so it only shows the male half. The male half seduces an elderly landlady, and then after they're married, after she doesn't see the other half of his fucking face, they get married, and she finds out that He-She is half female, a hermaphrodite, and He-She brutally slaughters the elderly woman, drags her lifeless corpse down to the basement, and stuffs her dead body into the basement wall. And then they kill the elderly woman's cat with a pickaxe. Then the superhero teenager known as Crime Buster, with his faithful sidekick, who was a monkey, by the way.
Of course.
Defeats and arrests He-She in a battle. And then He-She is sentenced to the electric chair. And they're killed by the electric chair. And that was the end of He-She.
This character is a very, very, very insulting portrayal of intersex people, to the point where it's so bad and so off the wall that it goes around again that I don't even know what to feel.
Like, oh my god. It's made even more offensive today, looking back at it. Like, it's just such a stupid idea. Every aspect of it is so stupid. This elderly woman married this guy that she never saw half of his body before then. And then some teenager with a monkey sidekick comes in and defeats them. Like, what the hell? It's just so stupid. It's a product of really shitty, genderphobic, transphobic comic books from the 1940s.
And also, side note, a little bit sexist with the woman is the deadliest of the species, but the male is the most brutal. Like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's very sexist.
But yeah, the main concern is, oh boy, this is perhaps the worst portrayal of intersex people in all of fiction.
Yeah, it's bad.
So anyway, there's a savage dragon villain named Heavy Flow, and she's a fat woman who has the power to shoot, like, high-pressure menstrual blood at people.
Because why not? Because Image Comics. Because fuck you. Because why not?
Yeah, I don't even have anything else to say about her. She's a relatively minor character. She's number four on this list because... ew.
She shoots menstrual blood at people? Am I understanding
you
correctly?
Like a fire hose. And also, looking at the panels I saw of her, how is she still alive? That's a lot of blood she just shot out.
Hey, man, her body's like fire hydrant. I don't know.
I don't have anything else to say about her. Just, ew. And also, that's two different, like, body fluid toilet shit characters we've talked about. I want to see the two of them fight. Actually, no, I don't, because that would be so fucking disgusting.
What, period blood and shit fighting? Yeah, that'd be pretty disgusting. So, my number three is the Wonder Woman villain from 1965, Egg Foo.
Oh,
now,
boy.
Egg Foo is a giant, house-sized, sentient egg that, conveniently enough, is from communist China. His powers include flight, And he has an elastic Fu Manchu mustache, which he uses as arms and limbs. He can grab and whip people with them. He is the most stereotypical Chinese stereotype I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, he looks like the poster for a World War II anti-Japan propaganda. He's a giant house-sized egg that looks Asian. And not only that, but his dialogue is written in a very offensive, stereotypical Chinese accent, where the L's and the R's are replaced with, are swapped with each other. God damn, it is very much a product of an American's 1965 during the Cold War, and it just is very offensive towards Chinese people, towards China in general. And recently, the character has been reinvented as a giant egg with mechanical spider legs, minus the racism, but still.
I mean, that's better. Still odd, though.
Which is weird, because a bit of a tangent. Maybe it's a product of me not knowing enough about Wonder Woman as a character, but I don't know. Like, this is the second major time where I'm like, really? That's her villain? Like, Wonder Woman 84 with Maxwell Lord. Like, really? A Wonder Woman movie? Her villain is corporate greed?
To be fair, in the comics, he has mind control powers and stuff.
Very true.
That movie has a lot of problems. I'm going to be honest. I like Maxwell Lord in that movie. Just this over-the-top, cartoonish, televangelist-esque businessman played by Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, I mean, that movie, I wasn't the biggest fan of that movie, but...
Oh, my thoughts on the movie are that I really, really liked it. It would have been a great movie if you cut out all the parts that were really, really fucking bad.
Ain't that true for all of cinema?
Like, seriously, it would have been an okay movie, like a solid B-plus movie, except it keeps having these random what-the-fuck stuff, like the scene where Muslims pray to have missiles given to them, or where Wonder Woman's okay with raping and murdering a guy if she can be with Steve Trevor. Like, that movie could have been passable if you just edited out that shit of your script, and we're off topic.
Point is, Egg Foo is an Asian stereotype. It's a black stain on the history of DC Comics, of Wonder Woman comics, and it baffles me that Egg Foo was ever even created. Like, it's just a dumb idea. A giant sentient egg with a Fu Manchu mustache.
Yeah, why is he an egg?
Exactly.
Like, it's not just evil ancient Chinese man, which is its whole host of problems, but why egg?
It's so stupid. It's a product of the 1960s. And yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about Egg Foo. Casey, what's your number three?
You know how earlier in this episode I talked about Extrano and how I was saving the big problems with him for later?
Yeah.
So Extrano, member of the Global Guardians, a C-list DC team from the 80s. What type of villains would they fight? Well, how about the guy they fought in their first issue, a vampire who is also a Nazi and only drinks the blood of black people?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
Oh, it gets so much worse. Introducing Hemogoblin, a one-off villain created in 1988. A white supremacist vampire who, again, only goes after black people. But, Riley, do you know what else was happening in 1988?
The AIDS crisis?
The AIDS crisis! The gimmick behind Hemogoblin is that he is a vampire who got HIV from drinking people's blood, and he ends up passing it on to the new Guardians, including Extrano, the only gay superhero at the time.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hemogoblin was one of my honorable mentions in the last video.
God, I completely blanked on that. Shit.
Yeah, no worries. It's still worth mentioning because he gave three members of the New Guardians HIV. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Like,
It was an honorable mention. No worries.
So here's the thing. Most of this episode, it's kind of comedic. We're mocking people, okay? We're saying, haha, these comics are dumb and bad. And, I mean, Hemogoblin is a very bad and dumb idea. But also, can we talk about how horribly offensive this is and how incredibly out of taste it was for the era this character was created? Like, the AIDS crisis was a tragedy. Hundreds of thousands of Americans were killed by a horrific, painful disease. The U.S. government did next to nothing to stop it because bastards like Ronald Reagan wanted gay people to die. The AIDS crisis has been compared to a genocide, and rightfully so. And during this mass slaughter of gay men, DC Comics made a funny one-off joke villain who gave the only gay superhero AIDS. And I think that's incredibly disrespectful to actual people with HIV.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the idea, it's such a weird mixed bag, because on one hand you have a monster, the heroes fighting the KKK, but then at the same time, it's at the expense of making fun of gay people and AIDS.
And like I said, DC had Steve Englehart write Estrano out of the comic because they didn't want a gay character. So it's not like the Global Guardians even had a chance to explore this or do some drama. It's just one-off issue where the dumb villain gives them all AIDS.
Yeah, I'm laughing at how terrible that idea is, just conceptually.
Wait, New Guardians. Shit, Global Guardians is the Justice League version from Invincible. Oh, by the way, Estrano died of AIDS.
Yeah, of course he did.
Like, in case that wasn't clear. They introduced the first ever gay superhero.
And then had him die of AIDS.
Given to him by a Nazi vampire.
Conceptually, I like the idea of the superheroes fighting the KKK and a monster created by them. But this was just handled in such poor taste. What the fuck? Seriously.
Is your number two worse? Please tell me it isn't. Or maybe, yay, it isn't, because we're going down. Just the last couple on this list, they're all so bad.
Well, here's my thing with my number two. My number one and number two are pretty interchangeable. I thought long and hard about where to place them, and I placed my number one where it is because I have a lot more to say about it. But I fully recognize the fact that my number two is much more offensive than my number one. My number two is because it's so offensive. Number one is because every single thought that went into making that character in that story is just so offensive. Like just so stupid and so bad. So, that being said, my number two is arguably my most offensive character on my list. My number two is Tyrock, created by DC Comics in 1976. He was the first black member of the Legion of Superheroes. He has the superpowers of reality warping, which comes forth through his screams. Like, he'll scream and he'll warp reality. And through that, he creates portals, force fields, he can teleport himself and objects, he can burn, freeze, destroy other objects. He has reality warping powers that manifest through his scream. He is a black character from the fictional island of Marzal, which is an island almost completely made of descendants of African slaves. And in one storyline, he even became president of the United States. Now, you may be wondering to yourself, why is he my number two? Why is he one of the worst and most offensive comic book characters ever made? The reason why is because of his arch nemesis, his greatest enemy, what he stands for, and what he fights against. And what he fights against is the civil rights movement.
Wait, what?
He fights, this black man, fights to preserve racial segregation in America.
I have several questions.
Yep.
Firstly, the fuck? Go on, yes, go on, man.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. He has been featured relatively recently in animated series and comic books minus the whole anti-civil rights, but he supported racial segregation and racism and prejudice in America, and he fought against African Americans demanding equal rights.
Why?
This was in the mid to late 70s.
Wait, what?
Yeah, yeah. This was in the mid to late 70s, after the civil rights movement. He fought against black people fighting for equal rights in the United States.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, that's why I say it's so offensive. But at the end of the day, it's offensive. Like, it's so bad. It's such a product of a time. But this is my second to most recent character on my list. Like, this is after the civil rights movement. And he fights to reinstate segregation. And this was a part of the Legion of Superheroes in the 70s. His name is Tyrock, and he has reality-warping screams, and he's pro-racism. That's my number two.
So my number two is actually, like, three different characters. It's a whole team of superheroes.
Okay.
And this is by far the most recent on the list. It's from 2020. Yeah, that hell of a year. Of course, that's when this came out. So in April 2020, Marvel announced that they were going to reboot the New Warriors. And the concept of this reboot is that the old members of the team would be mentoring five teenage superheroes, okay?
Yep.
Not a bad idea.
No.
But then they introduced these new characters, and oh boy, bit of a mixed bag. I mean, not all of them were awful. It was set to feature goth vampire teenager named B Negative, who had a cool design and fun personality. I wouldn't mind seeing him be introduced into something. It was also set to feature Trailblazer, a Native American woman with a magic pocket dimension backpack, and her whole deal is that she isn't a superhero, but just a civilian who ends up getting dragged into the plot against her will. Again, not a bad idea.
So she's essentially Dora the Explorer, but if she was Native American.
That too. But yeah, you know, not the worst idea. Let's just look at number three on their team. How to describe this terrible, terrible idea? His name is Screen Time, by the way, which, bit of a hint to what's wrong with him. I'm just gonna read the official Marvel.com summary of him, okay? Screen Time is a meme-obsessed super teen whose brain becomes connected to the internet after becoming exposed to his grandfather's experimental internet gas. Now it can see augmented reality in real-time maps and can instantly Google any fact. Does that make him effectively a genius? He sure acts like it does. How do you do, fellow cool kids? Do you like them dank memes? Wendy's Twitter is revolutionary. I like the emoji movie. Like, what the? Oh, God. It's the emoji movie as a character.
Right. Like, this is very much so a product of middle-aged white men doing middle-aged white men things, like trying to be progressive and connect to an audience that they have no understanding of and no business trying to connect to. And arguably, this is not the most offensive character on this list.
Oh no, he's not even the worst from the sixth volume of the New Warriors.
Yeah.
So, what could be worse than this? What could be worse? Let's talk about the twins. They're a pair of twin superheroes, okay? I'm saving their name for later. And honestly, they got cool designs. Their powers are actually pretty good. One of them, who is, by the way, a non-binary character, which is very rare in comics. Hey, representation, that's cool, right? Well, they have the ability to create shurikens out of ice and throw them at people. Okay, that's cool. And then there's their brother, who's like a buff dude who can create force fields. Again, not the worst idea. So what to call these two characters, one who has ice powers and one who has force field powers? How about Snowflake and Safe Space? Yeah, just fucking throw some alt-right buzzwords into your comic as the names of your new characters. Yeah, they made one of their only non-binary characters and named them Snowflake.
From what I understand, Marvel released a video announcing these characters, and it was framed as these characters who take these insults, being Snowflake and Safe Space, and embrace that and use it to build themselves up. But again, it's so misguided.
I get the idea, like, oh, reclaiming insults, that's not the worst thing. Lots of people do that, but also this is a black non-binary teenager named Snowflake who is being created and written by just a middle-aged white guy. Like,
right.
It's not your job to say how queer people should react towards people hating them for their existence. This isn't your story to write, dude. And it clearly isn't, because you're creating a character named Snowflake.
God damn. It's baffling how anyone at Marvel ever thought this was a good idea.
To be fair, this one's kind of a bit of a cheat putting this on my list. Like, Black Bomber from The Weirdest Characters. These characters weren't actually ever published.
Right. Well,
there was,
I mean,
such a massive backlash that New Warriors Volume 6 was canceled. So, they don't technically exist. But they almost did.
Yeah, in fairness, on my last list of weirdest characters, wasn't a comic book character, it was a TV show character, Love Sausage.
Well, to be fair, he was introduced in the comics.
True, but they changed him up. Regardless, those characters didn't even get to the fucking comic books because they were so offensive.
Just so misguided. Also, going with, you know how Meme Boy had that, oh god, cringeworthy introduction text?
Yeah.
How about these two? They're hyper aware of modern culture and optics, and they see their superheroics as a post-ironic meditation on using violence to combat bullying. They're probably streaming this. Oh, fuck off.
Again!
Like, the fact that you're introducing Snowflake in Safe Space, but you're also kind of mocking them, is going against what you claim to be why this is a good idea. If you ever make a character that is indistinguishable from an alt-right mocking character, like, designed to just insult minorities, then maybe rethink your character. And God, this isn't, we aren't even in number one yet.
Do you have anything more to say about Safe Space, Screen Time, and Snowflake?
Honestly, I hate Screen Time more than them, because these are possibly a good idea that was just horribly executed, but that guy is just so cringeworthy.
Yeah. It's fucking stupid, and it's probably the most recent character made on this list. This was last year, and Marvel thought this was a good idea. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I theoretically get these characters being written by a millennial or Gen Z, non-binary, transgender character, I guess, but...
And that's the problem. Like, it isn't. It's being written by an old white cis dude. That's not your story to tell, and you're very clearly doing it in a mocking way, despite what you say. It's just bad for so many reasons. Riley, what's your number one?
Alright. My number one is created by Lightning Comics in 1967, and I thought about this a lot, and I have a lot to say about this character. And I have a lot to say about how bad it is. This is the character that, of all of them, this is the reason why I suggested we do this episode today. Because, much like last episode, which was the weirdest comic book characters, I had no idea this character was going to be my number one. But he ended up being that. This character was created by Lightning Comics in 1967. Now, Lightning Comics, you may not have heard of them, because they were created in the 60s. They published two books that combined only lasted 5 issues. Now, the other character that's not my number one that this publisher created is known as Fat Man, Human Flying Saucer. He was a fat guy who could transform into an alien flying saucer. That guy lasted 3 issues. The other storyline that this publisher created lasted 2 issues. The fat man that turns into a flying saucer is better than this guy. This guy is known as Super Green Beret. Now, pro-American war propaganda has existed in comic books since the beginning. Since the beginning of superhero comics, superheroes like Superman, Captain America, and Shazam fought the evil forces of the Nazis and the Axis powers years before America joined World War II. So, pro-American war propaganda has permeated comic books, superhero comic books, since the very beginning. However, it's very easy to hate the Nazis because, arguably, they're very wrong. The problem with that is that since then, there's been a lot, and I mean a lot, of pro-American war propaganda superheroes that have existed in comic books ever since then. Superheroes who fought in the Korean War, all the way up until the War on Terror, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the near future. My number one, Super Green Beret, was a kid named Tom Holton, whose uncle returns from the Vietnam War. At this point in American history, the Vietnam War had been waging for 13 years. Vietnam War was a war by proxy. It wasn't an officially declared war, but it was still considered to be one of, if not the most controversial war in American history. Now, this kid, Tom Holton, his uncle is honorably discharged from the war, and he returns and gives his nephew a glowing green beret cap, which, giving away your uniform, is a felony offense, which is punishable by a dishonorable discharge in the U.S. Army. I'd like to throw that out there. B, the uncle tells his nephew this story that he saved this guy from a wild boar in the middle of the Vietnam jungle, and that man took him to an ancient Vietnamese jungle wizard that enchanted his green beret that will turn him into a superhero. Then he returned to the States, gave it to his 12-year-old nephew, who, whenever he wears the green beret and he salutes, he turns into a giant buff superhero who can literally do anything with magic. Now, this was created by the same guy who made the Shazam Captain Marvel character. In case you didn't know, a kid who uses magic to turn into an adult and do anything with magic. That's a ripoff of Shazam right away. B, there has never once in Vietnamese history ever been a jungle wizard or any mythology regarding a jungle wizard. So that's racism right there. So this only lasted 2 issues. And Tom Holton, whenever he would wear the green beret and salute, he would transform into the Super Green Beret, who was a buff army soldier. He would teleport to the Vietnamese jungle, and he would fight very offensively illustrated Viet Congs, and he would do anything with magic. Now, the problem with that, among many things, one, it's racist towards the Viet Congs and the Vietnamese people. B, who is this comic book for?
Well, people who want comics about child soldiers fighting Vietnamese people.
Right, exactly. Like that, you're joking, I understand that. But it's so fucked up. Because, think about it, it's not for the people who hate this war, because this was the most controversial war in American history, because it's supporting the troops. And I would like to say for the record that while I personally do not believe in war, I still, without a shadow of a doubt, support the men, women, and other that have given their lives and fought for our country. I support veterans and I support our soldiers. I would like to throw that out for the record. I have my own opinions on war in general, but that's all political. In terms of the soldiers that have fought and risked their lives and given their lives for our country, I have the utmost respect for you. I would like to throw that out there right now. That said, I'm not talking about you. Anything I say does not apply to you, soldiers, anyone who's fought for our country. this storyline, this character, it's not for people who hate this war. It's not for the people who support this war because it trivializes the conflict. And this kid turns into an army soldier complete with a uniform with an airborne army insignia. That is called stolen valor. That is a federal offense. Every single aspect of this character may not be as offensive as my number two, who's a black man who supports segregation, but it's got the racism. It's got the pro-Vietnam War, but then it makes a mockery of the Vietnam War. And it just, it's so mind-numbingly stupid and offensive. Oh my God. Like, who the fuck thought this was a good idea? How the fuck did this guy that created these two issues of a comic book create Captain Marvel Shazam?
I don't know. Also, now that I think about it, this child soldier, which A, is a war crime, this child soldier is a war criminal.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a soldier working for a military. And honestly, the fact that it's legal for the U.S. military to kill 250,000 people in Vietnam because they're soldiers and it's war is kind of messed up. But that's not even this. This is a guy who just traveled to another country and started killing people.
Yeah. Yeah. And his superpower is that he can do anything. Like, there's a scene where the Viet Congs throw grenades at him and he turns them into fruit because he has that magical ability to. The cover of one of the issues involves the Viet Congs attacking him. So he manifests gorillas, chimpanzees, and monkeys to attack them. It's just magic. Like, that's pretty fucking stupid, in my opinion. He has the ability to do literally anything with magic, and he chooses to fight in stolen valor fashion alongside American soldiers in the Vietnam War, one of the most controversial and fucked up wars in American history. It insults people who are against the war. It insults people who have fought in war, and it's just terrible. Every single aspect. It only lasted two issues, which was less than fucking Fat Man Human Flying Saucer. That's my number one.
So, how can we top that character, this civilian who goes out of their way and joins the U.S. military in slaughtering civilians as part of a brutal war? I mean, I can't top that. That's the type of thing that could only have been created during the 60s. Never fucking mind. There was a character who has the same bullshit in 2011.
Oh, yeah.
So, bit of backstory to this character. Do you know who Frank Miller is?
Yes, of course.
He was one of the greatest writers in comic books. Wrote Batman Year One, The Dark Knight Returns, Daredevil, The Man Without Fear. He was an amazing writer. And you'll notice that I'm using past tense. Normally when you talk about a writer in past tense, that means they're dead. Frank Miller is alive. He's just not a good writer anymore. In the early 2000s, he lost any shred of good writing ability he had and just all of his worst traits that he's just a terrible person. He's horrifically racist, misogynist in real life. Just came through full force. Like, everything he's written recently is terrible, both in terms of being insulting and in terms of just being really bad. And I don't get how this happened. Like, in the 80s, he was a good writer. I mean, a lot of his stuff from the 80s is kind of uncomfortable looking at it with a modern lens. Like, when I read The Dark Knight Returns last year, I was like, oh, I actually don't know how I feel about this. Because when this was published, the implication was that Batman becoming a more brutal, violent hero is supposed to be a bad thing and him falling to the dark side. But, oh, actually, I think Frank just thinks that's cool. But whatever. He used to be good. He was a good Batman writer. And then he lost his fucking mind. He wrote All-Star Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder. Quite possibly the worst Batman comic ever. Maybe even one of the worst comics ever, period. It's such a bad Batman story. Hey, you know how Batman doesn't kill? How about an issue where Batman has sex with Black Canary on a pile of flaming corpses he made? Hey, you know how Batman's, like, most redeeming character trait is his love of children and his relationship with Dick Grayson? Hey, how about Batman's just super fucking abusive to Dick Grayson and makes him eat rats? And yet, this Batman story, All-Star Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder, which is its title, which is way too long. Should have just been All-Star Batman. This book was still published by DC. They were like, eh, sure, this is fine. This is, I mean, it's bad, but we'll publish it. There's a Batman story that was so bad DC didn't publish it. So let's talk about Holy Terror. Not to be confused with Batman Holy Terror. Holy Terror Batman and Batman Holy Terror are two different stories because naming convention. And also after DC told Frank Miller to fuck off. Actually, he said that he was the one who made the choice to leave for Legendary. And maybe that's true. I don't know. I hope to God that DC wouldn't have published this. But anyway, after he left DC, it was just rebranded as Holy Terror, no Batman in it. So, what can I even say about Holy Terror? It's a story about Batman. And it is Batman. It's a guy wearing a Batman suit, but brown. And his girlfriend is Catwoman, except not called Catwoman. And there's Commissioner Gordon as a supporting character. It's a story about Batman killing a bunch of Muslims because Frank Miller is a violent Islamophobe. Like, that's all it is. It's about Batman with guns just running around brutally, brutally torturing and murdering Al-Qaeda members. And I feel like people are going to be, well, hey, hold on. You said it's about Batman killing Muslims. It's about Batman killing Al-Qaeda members. Oh, fuck off. A, they're the most stereotypically over-the-top ridiculous Muslims ever. Like, every single negative stereotype is featured on every single character. And B, the book at one point says that Al-Qaeda is secretly an organization with, like, hundreds of millions of members, which I guess is a thing that Frank Miller actually thinks. Like, yeah, it's a movie about Batman killing all the Al-Qaeda members, not Batman killing all the Muslims. But Frank Miller genuinely thinks every single Muslim alive is part of Al-Qaeda. So yeah, it is Batman killing all the Muslims.
Oh boy, Frank Miller.
Like the defense that it's just him killing terrorists. This book is like if Frank Miller wrote a book where Batman kills a bunch of Jews, but then someone's like, well, hold on, he's only killing those Jews because they murder babies and drink their blood. He's not anti-Semitic. Like, shut the fuck up. Yeah, he is. It's a book about Batman being a white supremacist mass murderer who brutally murders so many people, just all of the Muslims. And the character, though, isn't Batman. He's called the Fixer. He's never given a real name or backstory. He's just Batman in a worse costume. Like, it's Batman's costume without the logo or ears and bullets instead of the utility belt, and it's brown. And perhaps the worst part of the Fixer is his backstory. You know, Batman's thing about, oh, I've been hurt in the past by crime, so I want to stop crime to protect others. Yeah, Fixer doesn't have that. At one point he's asked, so what's with this? Ah, no, I just fucking hate Muslims. I've been waiting for them to do some terrorists, so I had an excuse to do some mass slaughter.
Jesus.
My number one is just Batman. If Batman was a racist mass murderer, written by a terrible, terrible writer in a terrible, terrible book that is bad for many reasons beyond it being Batman if Batman was a racist mass murderer. Like, God, this book is awful for so many reasons.
I knew of Holy Terror before this, but I had no idea, and I knew it was offensive, but I had no idea the extent of how offensive it is. Like, holy shit.
And he, like, fucking, the Fixer, like, fucking enjoys it. There's a scene where he's, like, brutally breaking a guy's spine and, like, smiling. Like, this guy gets off on killing people. Like, even if this was in the universe that Frank Miller thinks exists, where Al-Qaeda has jets with missiles that they're going to invade us with at any minute, he would still be an evil guy. Goddamn, I don't even know what else to say.
Yeah, I know what to say. Casey, you win. The Fixer is the worst character ever made.
So, what all did we have today? We had the pedophile horse. We had bodily fluid as a fire hose. We had mocking the AIDS crisis. We had fucking Snowflake in Safe Space. And now we have Batman if Batman was a mass murderer. What did you have again?
We had a literal poop monster, a literal piece of shit, a cat-killing hermaphrodite who was sent to the electric chair for brutally murdering an old lady. We had a giant communist Chinese egg. We had a black man who supports segregation and actively fought for segregation in the late 70s after the civil rights movement, like years after the civil rights movement. And then we had a pro-Vietnamese war mockery that just was some of the dumbest pieces of shit ever.
Yeah, all of these were awful for various reasons. So that's a downer ending to this video. I'm genuinely furious at a lot of this. Next week will hopefully be a more lighthearted, more fun episode. We're going to be reviewing the Street Fighter movie starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and Raul Julia.
I haven't seen it before, but I'm looking forward to it.
So, Riley, where can they find more about this show?
You can all find us on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter at Silver Age Silver Screen, where we post a lot of content on there. On YouTube, we post full videos of our shows. You can find me on YouTube at Riley Thorpe, where you can check out all of my award-winning short films. And you can find me on TikTok and Instagram at Riley James Thorpe. Casey, how about you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Jarms, KCJARMESCASEY. I recently had a video essay series where I also ranted about me hating things in superhero fiction called The Politics of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. You can find it on my YouTube channel, which is just my name. Three parts, all of them are good. We'll be back next week, assuming we don't get killed by a menstrual blood fire hydrant.
I mean, that's the dream.
As always, I'm Casey Jarms.
And I'm Riley Thorpe.
And hey, it's just some shitty comics. Don't lose your head about it. Although I kind of think I am going to lose my head about it. Fuck Frank Miller.
Yeah, I need a drink after this shit.